Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You could use a shortwave radio with the schedule of English language broadcast, but it's simpler to use a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports and find advice for listening to shortwave at home. Please check out the website and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from NHK Japan, France 24, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, and Radio Havana Cuba. We will begin with NHK World Radio Japan. The new Japanese Prime Minister, Sanae Takaichi, has sent her defense minister to attend an international security conference in Munich to explain their new defense policy. It has been 4 months since a ceasefire in Gaza was declared. 44 progressive politicians in Thailand are facing potential lifetime bans for wanting to change the royal insults law. Ukraine is expanding its drone strategy beyond its borders, with plans to produce and export its weaponized drones across Europe this year. Zelensky says that the manufacturing of weapons is the largest industry in Ukraine. NHK Japan.
Japanese Defense Minister Koizumi Shinjiro will travel to Germany to attend a major international security conference. He says it's an opportunity to present the Takaichi administration's defense policy to the wider world.
It's extremely meaningful to be able to directly explain our defense policy at a time when the Takaichi cabinet has received wide support from the people in a snap election. This will allow us to further strengthen coordination with allies and like-minded countries in a difficult security environment.
The Munich Security Conference will feature ministers and experts from the United States and countries mainly in Europe. The attendees will exchange views on international security policy. Koizumi intends to share the understanding the security of the Euro-Atlantic and that of the Indo-Pacific are inseparable. He also plans to confirm solidarity with member nations in maintaining and strengthening a free and open international order based on the rule of law. Koizumi is reportedly arranging separate meetings with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte and the defense ministers of Germany, Britain, and Italy during his stay. He'll begin his 5-day trip on Thursday. Tuesday marks 4 months since a U.S.-led ceasefire took effect in Gaza following 2 years of devastating conflict. But authorities in the enclave say it's been a truce in name only, while Israel accuses Hamas of violating the agreement. This month, the Rafah border crossing with Egypt reopened. It comes after Washington announced the start of Phase 2 of the peace plan. Residents returning for the first time in 2 years found neighborhoods reduced to rubble, with many people still living in tents.
We were extremely shocked by the situation. It's our land. We were born here and we'll die here. We will not leave.
Israel has continued to launch sporadic attacks in Gaza, claiming ceasefire violations by Hamas. Health authorities in the enclave say 581 people have died in the 4 months since the truce began.
Dozens of current and former progressive lawmakers in Thailand are facing potential lifetime bans from politics. They're accused of breaching ethical standards over a failed bid to change the royal insult law. Thailand's Anti-Corruption Commission made the finding against 44 people. Among the accused is the leader of the reformist opposition People's Party, Nathapong Rinpanyawut, and other senior members. If the Supreme Court finds them guilty, it could prohibit them from any further participation in politics. The development is a second major blow for the People's Party. It comes after the party suffered a heavy defeat to the ruling conservative Phum Chai Thai Party in the weekend election. Prime Minister Anuttin Chanwirakul, who heads the Phum Chai Thai, is set to lead coalition talks. Media reports suggest the likely candidates are the Pua Thai Party and the Glatham Party, projected to come third and fourth respectively. Anutin has said he will wait for the final results before discussing the matter.
Ukraine is expanding its drone strategy beyond its borders. President Volodymyr Zelensky says the country will open 10 weapons export hubs, primarily for drones, across Europe this year. Zelensky announced the plan during a speech on Sunday. He said the manufacturing of drones using Ukrainian technologies will begin in Germany in the middle of this month. He also said production lines are already operating in Britain. Ukraine has been making efforts to enhance the manufacturing technology of unmanned aircraft in response to Russia's invasion. A local media report says more than 200 drone-related firms have been created, significantly changing the nature of the conflict. The Ukrainian president said the manufacturing of weapons, including drones, is the largest industry currently operating in Ukraine. He expressed hope of attracting more foreign investments into the country's drone industry.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan on shortwave. They're heard at 9 p.m. at 11735 or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp. NHK may also be found easily at most podcast sites, as is the shortwave report. All the times I announce are for Pacific Standard Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. Next, France 24. Starting with three press reviews. First, Zelensky announced plans for spring elections and a referendum on the peace deal. Then, press from last Friday, before the Japanese staff elections, called by the new ultra-conservative prime minister, were held. The results were a landslide for her Liberal Democratic Party. Then, press on the Trump announcement of revoking the EPA endangerment finding and bringing back burning coal as a priority for military energy. One of France 24's best interview shows is called Tête-à-Tête, and this week the guest was Francesca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur on the Occupied Palestinian Territories. She discusses current Israeli maneuvers strengthening control over the West Bank. The host asked her about accusations that she is an anti-Semite. France 24.
Starting off with an exclusive from the Financial Times.
Yeah, this is an FT exclusive. It dropped just a few hours ago this morning. Zelensky plans spring elections alongside referendum on peace deal after US push. The article says that the Trump administration has put pressure on Zelensky to hold both votes by the 15th of May or risk losing US security guarantees. Now, the paper says that holding elections would be a drastic pivot for Zelensky, who has previously said that elections in the country were impossible whilst it remains under martial law with millions displaced and around 20% of the country under Russian occupation.
So you're going to tell us first about the general elections in Japan this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. The incumbent ultra-conservative Prime Minister Sanae Takaishi she did call these elections the snap general elections. The Japan Times here focusing on this party here today, the Komeiti Party. It was it actually ended its 26-year coalition with the ruling LDP last year over corruption allegations and Takaishi's commitment to reform. This election will be played in part, at least, in terms of who gets those precious votes, the Japan Times says. This was on the front of Japan Today, another English-language Japanese press outlet. It was focusing on Donald Trump's endorsement of Takaishi before the election and his announcement of her upcoming visit to Washington that will take place next month. And in the same publication today, it looks at some hot-button issues in the election. There'll be issues around foreign residence caps and nuclear policy. Now, Japan Today explains that Takaishi is a security hawk and is expected to update key defense and security documents in the face of growing threats to Japan's security an assertive China and nuclear power, but also North Korean missiles and nuclear threats. Now, her party has advocated the sharing of nuclear-powered submarines with the U.S. and seeks to deepen that alliance if they win this weekend's election.
To the US for this next story. Donald Trump's climate policy continues to reject scientific consensus.
Yes, well, let's start by looking at this piece in Politico. Trump's Environmental Protection Agency to take its biggest swing yet against climate change rules. Now, this is about the repealing of the so-called endangerment finding. That's the scientific finding that greenhouse gases threaten the public health and welfare of current and future generations. It's been written into, it's been enshrined in US legislation in the Clean Air Act since 2009, but this inconvenient fact is soon to disappear from the legislation. This journalist explains that in doing so, the government is revoking its own authority to regulate these emissions and as such cutting legs out from under US climate change rules. Meanwhile, in US climate policy, or energy policy, I should say, Donald Trump's push for coal. He's ordering the Pentagon to give priority to buying coal energy. Now, that's extremely controversial, of course, and this journalist describes it as essentially subsidising a heavily polluting fossil fuel that is currently struggling to compete in the marketplace. The US have been very successful in phasing down this energy source. It was 50% of their energy mix in 2000 and is now only 17%. But Donald Trump, of course, does not see this as a success. He wants to cancel the planned retirement of several coal facilities. And even published yesterday on the White House website a fact sheet referring to strengthening the US national defense with America's beautiful clean coal power generation fleet. Now, of course, the words clean coal don't usually go together on documents entitled fact sheet. Coal is the single biggest contributor to climate chaos. And of course, as a double evil, it also causes particulate pollution, which means it's a health hazard to those who live near these facilities. These are facts. The words clean coal are nothing short of unabated misinformation.
Hello and welcome to Tête-à-Tête, France 24's flagship interview show. Our guest this week is Francesca Albanese. She is the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories. And she joins us from Tunis. Thank you very much for being our guest this week. So on February 8th, the Israeli government took several steps to strengthen its control over the West Bank, facilitating land purchases, allowing Israel to seize control of areas under control of the Palestinian authorities, including religious sites, and also gaining greater leeway to demolish Palestinian structures. In a joint statement, foreign ministers of 8 Muslim-majority countries strongly condemned what it calls illegal measures aimed at imposing Israel's sovereignty over the West Bank. What is your reaction to the latest move by the Israeli government?
Yeah, this is absolutely worrisome because of at least three reasons. What Israel is doing is illegal in and of itself. It shows that there is no limit, no restraint to the conquest ambitions of this government. The second element of preoccupation is that this happens in a context of heightened violence in the all-occupied Palestinian territory, while the soldiers and settlers are spreading terror in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, and the plan to fully destroy Gaza continue. And at the same time, and this is the third element, but concerns all states, it's shocking how Israel is given free hand to continue occupying the Palestinian territory while there is a clear decision of the International Court of Justice, the highest judicial body in the world, which declares the occupation illegal and to be dismantled totally and unconditionally. The settlements, the troops, and the control over the natural resources. This is a peremptory norm of international law, the right of self-determination that is being violated and has implications for all member states.
I want to get to Gaza. According to the Trump administration, the war is essentially over. It's now time for reconstruction. However, on the ground, Israel has not fully withdrawn. There are still Israeli strikes. And Hamas has not disarmed. Do you think that the Trump administration is trying to move too fast and that there's still a problem that needs to be solved in Gaza?
I would like to say that the violent situation, the monstrous situation that you called a war, is definitely not over, as the death toll of the last 2 months demonstrate. There are nearly 600 Palestinians in Gaza, including many children and elderly people, who've been killed by the army through bombardment and continuous sniper fire. The evidence of war crimes, crimes against humanity, and acts that constitute genocide continue to pile up. And when you ask me, is President Trump going too fast? It depends. If we imagine that President Trump and his acolytes have really hurt peace, is going in the opposite direction, but of peace. But what this administration is helping Israel, this U.S. administration is accelerating Israel to do, is the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Genocide is functional to clear the Palestinian land of Palestinian life.
In your reports, you've accused Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. You've been much less critical of Hamas, and as such, you've been described essentially as an anti-Semite, an anti-Zionist. The latest example given by those who denounce you is a forum hosted by Al Jazeera, which also featured Hamas leader Khaled Meshaal, and in where you reportedly accused Israel of being the common enemy of humanity. Is this what you said, and what is your response to those very, very severe accusations against you?
The accusations are shameful and defamatory, but let me put this in context. First of all, I would requalify that I am what you said, that they are much more critical of Israel than Hamas. Excuse me. I've condemned Hamas crimes and war crimes and possibly war crimes against humanity committed on October 7. And from October 7, 850 days have passed, during which Israel has slaughtered between 70 and 80,000 people, destroying everything, pulverizing everything that was life for them, homes, schools, places of memory, hospitals. You know, this is so abominable that we struggle to contain this. And it's so disproportionate to anything that has been done, that of course I keep on focusing on Israel. And every time I can, yes, I condemn Hamas. I've always condemned Hamas for what it was doing to the Palestinians before October 2023, you know. But the second thing is that anyone from the Pope to the Secretary General has been accused of antisemitism for simply asking Israel to comply with international law. Antisemitism is hatred and discrimination of Jews because they are Jews. But this has nothing to do with asking Israel as a member of the international community to comply with international law. Its crimes are fully documented. But also, there is such a level of manipulation of the information from the acolytes and the accomplices with Israel apartheid, wherever they are. And the example you quoted is phenomenally spot on, because I participated remotely, as you can see from the video, and I encourage everyone to watch and to listen to what I said. And I challenge everyone to find what I'm accused of saying, that Israel is the enemy of the humanity. I've never said that. I've said something very different. But of course, it's been manipulated so as to corroborate the defamation against me. What I've said, it's very different. And I was in a panel, not with Hamas leaders. This is yet again another distortion. I was invited by Al Jazeera to speak at a panel composed of jurists, including former prosecutors of the ICC, Fatou Bensouda, and I was honored to be among them, frankly. And what I said was, of course, commenting on the genocide and blaming not just Israel, but the system. It's the system that has allowed, that has armed the genocide, that has sheltered genocide from accountability, and has also profited from the genocide. It's this system that concerns a reality much beyond Israel, as I've often said, that is the enemy, that is our common enemy.
Last question.
Maybe it's too complicated. It's too sophisticated for the simplistic minds of those who crush everything into anti-Semitism in order to shelter Israel from accountability.
Francesca Albanese, that's all we have time for. I want to thank you very much for being our guest this week here on Tête-à-Tête.
Those press reviews and interview were from France 24, which may be easily found at their website, france24.com, as well as a YouTube channel called France 24 English, as well as most podcast sites. And I highly recommend listening to that entire edition of Tête-à-Tête up on the website. On to Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. The U.S. blockade of fuel to Cuba has created many problems, including the loss of ability to refuel commercial aircraft. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
Air Canada has suspended all flights to Cuba, cutting off a vital source of tourism revenue. A long-standing U.S. embargo, along with Donald Trump's recent threats to slap tariffs on any country supplying oil to the communist-run island, has led to severe fuel shortages. Havana has warned that foreign airlines will no longer be able to refuel because of dwindling supplies.
Cuba has run out of aviation fuel, and it's already impacting tourism. With its aircraft unable to fill their tanks, Air Canada has suspended flights to the island. The airline says it will only be sending empty planes to bring stranded tourists back home. It's bad timing for the cash-strapped Caribbean island. Canada is Cuba's largest single tourism market, and the suspension comes at the peak of the winter high season. Behind the travel woes is a wider regional fight. Cuba depends on fuel imports from friendly nations to keep running. But its biggest suppliers have been cut off. In early January, the US removed Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro from power.
Happy New Year.
A few weeks later, Donald Trump signed an executive order threatening tariffs on any country sending oil to Cuba. That, in turn, led Cuba's other major supplier, Mexico, to suspend all oil shipments. Mexico's president condemned Washington's measures.
You cannot strangle a people like this. It's very unfair, very unfair. So I'm calling for these sanctions to end and for support to be given to the people. Always.
For tourists, the oil shortage could spell disruption. But for Cubans, with energy lifelines squeezed, a bad situation could soon get a lot worse.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com, as well as YouTube at their channels called DW News and DW Documentary, also available at most podcast sites. If you have questions or comments about the Shortwave Report or could help support this show like a longtime listener and supporter in Albion, California did this week, my PayPal contact information is available at my website, outfarpress.com, or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. I am truly grateful for the donations. They're essential for the weekly production and website fees for this show, which I supply freely to more than 100 radio stations around the world. And if you're listening on a public radio station, please support them as well. We will conclude with Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba denounced the blockade of fuel at the Human Rights Council in Geneva. More details on Israel tightening controls on the occupied West Bank. The Intercept reported that the Pentagon agreed to buy $210 million worth of illegal cluster munitions from an Israeli firm. Thousands marched through the streets of Milan to protest the environmental and social impacts of the Olympics and the presence of the U.S. ICE agents. Radio Havana, Cuba.
Cuba condemned this Monday in Geneva the extraordinary and aggressive intensification of actions by the United States against the island. At the organizational meeting of the 61st session of the Human Rights Council, Cuban representative Roberto Cabañas stated that such aggression constitutes a violation of human rights. He pointed out that Washington has even threatened trade tariffs against nations that provide oil to Cuba, seeking to involve the global community in its stance. This action, he noted, is aimed at paralyzing the economic and social life of the country, leading to the suffering of millions of Cubans. The Cuban diplomat also noted that the 61st session of the Human Rights Council will be held amidst a complex international context, as the multilateral system and its institutions are currently facing direct assault. In this regard, he emphasized the withdrawal of the United States from this organization and numerous others. Furthermore, he criticized their attempts at enforcing a new global order based on the law by force, citing as an example their military aggression in Venezuela and the subsequent kidnapping of President Nicolas Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores.
Israel's security cabinet has approved new rules to tighten Israeli control over the occupied West Bank. The rules will make it easier for Israeli settlers to buy land in the occupied West Bank and give Israeli officials stronger powers to enforce laws on Palestinians in the area. Meanwhile, a new report by The Intercept has uncovered the Pentagon's $210 million deal to buy advanced cluster munitions from an Israeli manufacturer. The U.S. will pay the Israeli company, Tomer, for over a period of 3 years to produce new 155-millimeter shells containing small munitions. The Cluster Munition Monitor has recorded nearly 25,000 cluster munition injuries and deaths since the 1960s, the vast majority from unexploded remnants. Cluster bombs are illegal under international law for use because of its devastating and mortal effect. In Italy, thousands of people marched through the streets of Milan to protest the environmental, social, and economic impacts of the Winter Olympics, and also objecting to Israel's participation in the Games and the presence of Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agents, ICE agents, with the U.S. delegation. Police fired tear gas and water cannons as some protesters approached the hockey venue over the weekend.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's website is working pretty well at radiohc.cu, but there's no podcast. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140, and from 6 p.m. to midnight at 6000. At their website, radiohc.cu, you can stream the English version at noon, Monday through Friday, Pacific Standard Time, most of the time. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find information for making an online support. Please consider subscribing. There's a link at my website along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. This April, the Shortwave Report will be celebrating having been on the air for 30 years without a break. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.